Reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither who he plants is anything, nor is who waters, but God who gave the increase.
Number one goal, our number one purpose, our number one plan is to help win souls to Christ. We want to be a people here that's concerned about other people. We want to be a people that wants to share God's love, share God's message, and focus on this community. It was suggested to me that for the month of February that we have a series of lessons and the bulletin be dedicated to love, and that we focus on that. So for the next one more week in this month and then next month, those of you that's reading scripture, I want 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read every time, because we're going to look at love and we're going to be concentrating on love and we're going to be focusing on that for the next several weeks, because you know, I think it's important. Matter of fact, everybody look up here right now at me if you don't mind, and then put a smile on your face. I want to see some teeth all the way across the auditorium, because that's the kind of people we need to be. We need to be a happy people, and if you're not happy, let me give you one suggestion. Me and Nars talked about it. Love somebody. If you want to be happy, love somebody. You know that feeling. You know that feeling when, especially the older people, you look back and you think back on your life, and you can even go back to the time of when you got your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you were just so happy. Just grin from ear to ear because you had that relationship. You had that someone special in your life. Now, the older we go and the more we get into life, we've got more people that brings that happiness and brings that joy and brings that smile to our face. And we live life that way, and we get energy from other people because of the love that we have for each other. And we're going to really talk about this for the next several weeks. And I hope that you will invite others. I hope that you will be encouraged. I hope that you will be here and take part in this, and let's focus on what we can do. But listen, it's more than that. Let's focus on what a difference we can make in other people's lives by the love that we have. And people will see that. What I'm fixing to bring up and what I'm going to talk about today, I think it all ties together. I think it ties together what we've done said. And what I'm about to say right now, by no means do I think what I'm fixing to say is the worst thing that can happen. Let me say that again. What I'm about to say is not the worst thing that can happen. But to date, it's the worst thing that's happened to me. I don't think that I've had it worse or as bad as a lot of people. But in my 48 plus years, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And that was losing Jay. Yesterday, he would have been 25 years old. I was sitting on the bed. And when he passed away, someone made some pictures or had some pictures of him, and they put it on a ceramic tile, had one big picture in the middle of him holding Ella within the last week that he was alive, and he had oxygen on, and he was holding Ella, who was just about a month or two old, and he was grinning. And then all around that picture is action, I don't know how you would word that, but action shots of different things in his life. Had war paint on for West Carroll. When he one shot was him playing football and a lot of different things, standing there with his Peyton Manning Tennessee jersey on, one just a beautiful picture. And that picture sits on my nightstand next to my bed. And I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was looking at that picture, and I was going back in my mind, and I was thinking about Jay and how I missed him, and I was looking right in his eyes in that picture yesterday, and you could see the sadness in his eyes because he knew that that was his last week, or he knew that he was nearing the end of his life. And in our bedroom, we've got a TV hanging on the wall, and I have learned a little bit about technology. Not a lot, but a little bit, and I don't recall the name of it, Pandora, some kind of pan something. It's got music on it. And on that, you can go to country, and one of the country stations on that is Vince Gill. And I was sitting there on the bed, and I had Vince Gill's whatever it is going. The song, Come On, Go Rest High on That Mountain. I love that song. I preached a funeral many years ago. A young lady, a teenage girl from Huntington, who had had a car wreck, I preached her funeral, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that song, and they played it at her funeral. But as I was sitting there looking at Jay's picture yesterday, I was listening to Vince Gill sing that song when he said, "Son, your life on this earth." And it just touched me. And it wasn't long till teardrops was hitting this ceramic tile. And I just sat there and thought for a few minutes about life and the struggles that so many people face every day. Some a lot worse than what I just named, because mine is not bad. Mine is a good end in the sense that I looked Jay in the eye that last week, and as I was holding his hand and we were praying and we were talking about life and talking about death, I looked at him right in the eye and I told him, "Son, with all assurance, there's no doubt in my mind. As much as I've read and I've studied, I am convinced, David." Nothing, no, y'all understand what I'm saying? There's no doubt, because I'm talking about my son, my loved one, a part of my life. The worst part of, and other people in here have lost children, spouses. The worst part about what we're talking about here is it's a pain that we'll carry to her grave. A part of me's gone. A part of me's gone that I won't get back. But without a doubt, when I looked him in the eye and we were talking, I said, "Son, you're okay. You have done exactly what God had said do. And I know your life. Because from the age of 13, we were his best friend." I said, "Don't worry about that. And I love God. And God is the center of our lives because of something I just said. Because every one of us sitting in here this morning can have the same assurance that I looked my son in the eye and told him on his deathbed, you don't have to worry about that. Because if you," and Steve brought up in class, and he talked about God, And then he talked about, and I started bringing it up when he was talking, but I didn't. When he was talking about God there at the end and talking about the Word of God, you know, God and Jesus are one. And then if you'll read the book of John, the Word of God and Jesus is the same. Therefore, you tie it all together, and you've got God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, and you've got to love all four because they're all the same. So with that being said, when we study and we obey the Word of God, we can know that we're in the right relationship with God, and we can put a smile on our face because no matter what else happens, we can have the assurance and the hope, and that's not wishful thinking, and I know I say that often. When we talk about the hope of heaven, don't ever think it's like I hope I get a new car or I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. That's not the same kind of hope that we're talking about. Hope is not that kind of hope. God has promised us, and I believe with all my heart, that God will deliver. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place for you, he said, I will come again. And that's where we're going to be. So we can change the frowns and we can change the disappointing. The smiles and love and hope. Because there's nothing I want more than to gather my loved ones together. And whichever one of us goes first, we just ease them on out. And you tell them, go on, son. I'll be on directly. Or go on, Wendy. I'll be on directly. Or them say that to me. And not be living for this, not be living for the world, but be living for heaven. Be thinking about heaven and thinking about that home in heaven because we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. I don't even want to be here forever. Why? Because of all the trouble that's in this world. Because of all the loss. Because of all the suffering. Because of all the pain. Now, I enjoy life. I really do. I have a good time and I smile and I'm happy for the most part. But listen, your happiness has got to come from heaven. You're going to be disappointed if you're sitting in here this morning, and I'm preaching to myself too now, but you're going to be disappointed if your happiness comes from worldly things. Because you're not going to take any of it with you. No matter where you go, you're not going to carry anything from this earth with you, so your happiness needs to come from heaven. And it scares me that so many people, happiness is not from heaven. It's from this world. And I hope that everybody can understand the difference in what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about we can't have fun while we're here. And we don't want to accomplish things. We don't want to do things. But it's focused on God and it's focused on service to God and being in heaven one day. And when we do that, y'all, we're going to teach our children and we're going to teach our grandchildren and we're going to encourage our husband and our wife and whoever our loved ones are. We're going to encourage those people to be faithful to God. Just think about it on the two sides. David brought up, or Steve won this morning in class, there's not but two roads that we're going to travel down. There's a wide road, and many people is going down that road, and there's a narrow road, and few people find that. But at the end of the day, with all that being said, at the end of the day, where do you want to find yourself and your loved ones one day? Do you want to find yourself in heaven? Or do you want to find yourself and all your loved ones in hell? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the two choices. There's not an option three. Every one of us in here will be in one of those two places one day. And nothing you can do to get anywhere else besides those one or two places. Not a person in here this morning is going to be here. Am I right, David? Nobody's going to be here one day. One day, everybody's going to be somewhere else. And the choice is whether you want to be in heaven or whether you want to be in hell. You know, we don't even like saying hell anymore, do we? A lot of people don't even want to mention it anymore. We don't want to use that word at all because it's offensive and it means that it's bad. And we don't want to bring that up because we want everyone to be right. That was the conversation we was talking about this morning in class. It just come back to me. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be saved. And everybody wants to go about it different ways. And that's what the class was this morning. But at the end of the day, there's a certain way that we have to travel. There's a certain way we have to live. And we got to focus on heaven. We got to focus on God. We got to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30 says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of your members should perish than your whole body be cast into hell. That's tough. I'm going to tell you something. That's some tough verses. I don't know how often you read and study your Bible, but I when I sit down and I read, I try to focus and I try to see how does this pertain to Tim. And I'm going to tell you something, Greg. Those are hard verses. Because he's telling us here, if your right eye or your right hand or any part of your body, in other words, he's saying this, okay? If there's something in your life that's keeping you from getting to heaven, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because you'd a lot rather live without your eye, your hand, or whatever it is in your life that's keeping you from being a Christian, keeping you from being faithful to God. You had a lot rather to live 20, 48, 60, 80, 90. Let's go way out there. Let's say 110 years on this earth. I'd rather live 110 years without my eye and my hand or whatever that other thing is that's keeping me from being a Christian. I'd rather live that long without it than eternity in hell. Now, isn't that what those verses are saying? That if you've got something in your life that's keeping you from being a Christian, being faithful to Jesus, get rid of it. I think there's four things, and I'm going to speed up. I think there's four things in these two verses that Jesus is teaching us here that means so much to us. And number one is he's talking about something that's important to every one of us, and that's the value of a soul. The number one lesson is look at the value of a soul. Now, we could preach another 3 hours on this particular point right here. Because first of all, we got to start with our own soul, and we got to think about the value of our own soul. How important is my soul? It's most important to me. I can't help anyone else if I am not right with God. And you may say, well, I can too, Tim. Well, no, you can't. You may say the right words, but what's the old saying? The best sermon you ever preach is the life that you live. You can say all the right things, but if you're not doing the right things, you're preaching a sermon to other people that says you're a hypocrite. I'm going to say one thing, and I'm going to do something else. So the value of a soul, first of all, to yourself is, how am I living my life? Look at the text again. The soul is worth more than any member of the body. your soul is most important to you. You know, I take 8 pills a day now. And I was listening to the radio this morning, listening to a doctor, and he said, of course, he wasn't talking to me, he was talking to all of us. He said, you ought to take a vitamin A, a vitamin C, and a vitamin D, and a zinc if you want to fight off colds and flus. So I was coming back from the water plant this morning, listening to him. I said, put me 12 a day. That wouldn't be bad. Why don't I take those medicines? Well, it's to make me feel better, supposedly. Really, I take those medicines because the doctor said I needed to, and it should help me live longer. And I'm taking care of my body by taking these medicines, or at least that's what I think I'm doing. So when we take our 8 medicines, 8 pills a day, so that we can live longer and we can overcome your heart problems and whatever else problems we have, we can overcome these problems or extend our life by taking these medicines. It's important to us because it goes back to how we started our sermon. Started our sermon this morning talking about love, talking about family members, talking about our family and how we want to be together. So we take those and we take care of our body. But folks, we can't forget our soul. We can take all the pills in the whole world to live another day. But if we're not looking after our soul, we're making a very grave mistake. One day we're going to regret that. The soul is worth more than the whole world. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. He said, what shall it profit a man? Listen to this. What shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Goes back to what I said. No matter what we do on this earth, no matter what we think we have, we're not going to take it with us. We can't love this world. If you had it all, think about our president we have now. Been reading up on him lately. Billionaire. That's several zeros behind that. Billion. But you know, that's not going to do him any good at one point. I don't know how old he is, 70-something. A few years down the road, those billions of dollars is not going to be worth anything to him. And if you had every dollar in the whole world and everything in it, when you leave this earth, it means nothing to you. And if you lose your soul to get it, it's not worth anything. Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not them which is able to kill the body, but fear the one that's able to kill both body and soul in hell. What's all these verses mean to us? It means that our soul has to be most important to us. And that's what Jesus is teaching in our text. Number two, when we look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, I think the second point that Jesus is pointing out, besides the value of the soul, is the danger of sin. Well, it's not really that bad. We brought that up this morning in class. That's how we get to thinking about things sometimes. We let things go for a little while, and it's not long that we think it's really not that bad. And I'm not going to beat anybody up this morning, not trying to at all. And I hate to even bring this up, but I'm going to because maybe it'll make a difference in one person's life. For an example, attendance. It's so easy not to come. I know this. I know how tired people can get. And it's so easy to miss on Sunday night because after all, I'm tired and I've got to start my week tomorrow. Or it's so easy not to come on Wednesday nights because, look, preacher, I've worked hard all week and I'm tired. I didn't get home until whatever time. I'm not beating anybody up, but once you start to miss, it won't be longer. It gets easier to miss. And it grows. It'll grow from missing once every once in a while to, I generally don't make it on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I talked to a friend of mine in college one time. We got to be friends with them, and I got to talking about where they went to church, and they said, we went so-and-so on Sunday morning. I think Fairview is where they went, in Lexington on Sunday morning. I said, well, where you go on Sunday night and Wednesday night? He said, well, damn, we generally don't make it on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why not? Why don't you make it on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Look, I come in this last Wednesday night with a few seconds to spare dirty. But, oh, it was good to be here. It was good to be here and see the ones I got to see on Wednesday night. But that's how sin gets started. It starts off by just taking just a little nibble of it. Just take a little bite of it. And once you've done it once, you'll go back to it again if you're not careful. And it's not long till it just consumes you. And when you allow one, listen to me, I don't mean this, but when you allow one little sin, if there's any such beast, when you let one little sin in your life, Nick, it ain't long till you can let a bigger one in. Not that we're going to size any of them, but what I mean by it gets bigger and bigger and bigger till we walk completely away from God. And I know nobody in here this morning has walked completely away from God, but it may be someone in here this morning that's allowed some sin in their life to the point that you've justified it and allowed it, and it's taking hold of you this morning. And that's what Jesus is dealing with this morning, is a danger of sin. If you read Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, sin caused the flood and caused the world to be destroyed. Sin did. It got so wicked that God looked down and he was disappointed and he destroyed it all. And that's what sin does today to our lives. It will destroy us. It'll destroy your life, destroy your thinking. You remember what I started off talking about? What's coming? Love and a smile on your face. Sin will destroy that smile on your face. Because as Christians, we know that we're not right with God because of sin. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, sin is a reproach to any people. Any people. Any covers those who've justified it, those who don't care, those who don't think about it, and those of us that are sitting in here this morning that do think about it. That's what it's talking about. Listen to what James says. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. That's James telling us, sin will bring death. That's what Jesus is teaching here in our text. The third thing that Jesus is teaching in our text is that wrath will come. The third thing is wrath will come. If we don't pluck that eye out, we don't cut that hand off. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wrath will come. Matthew 5:29 and 30, our text is dealing with the soul that sinneth will be cast into hell. Remember our text? It said it'd be better to cut your hand off then the whole body be thrown in hell. Fight and get that sin out of our life. And then fourthly and finally, the fourth thing Jesus is teaching us here is the necessity, how necessary it is to have discipline. Every one of us needs discipline. I tell you what's hard for me is to have discipline for my two grandchildren. Ella is just right in my heart. I mean, she's got Pappy. And Jay Cruz is just, he's 100% boy. And they know what to say and they know what to do now. Every once in a while, they know Pappy's fishing, get on to them. They'll go to coming over there and they'll grab a hold of my leg and they'll say, Pappy, I love you. Jay Cruz runs around the house all the time that he says that he's Pappy's boy. Wendy, I ask him, say, are you Mammy's boy? No, I'm Pappy's boy. It's just hard for me to get on to them because I love them. But you have to get on to them because you love them. And Jesus is teaching us that here in these two verses, teaching it to ourselves. We must discipline ourselves to the extent of plucking out your eye or cutting off your hand. Now listen to that. You've got to discipline yourself. You know, when, if you're looking to hire someone, one of the things people will ask you in an interview, are you self-motivator? In other words, are you so lazy and sorry you can't get up and work? That's really what they're saying. Are they saying, can you get up and do what you need to do without somebody telling you? And that's kind of what this is right here. If we're a self-starter, self-motivator, we got to self-discipline ourselves. The last thing we ever want is to live our life and someday look back and say, you know, I wish I'd have disciplined myself a little more, because here I stand before God Almighty. And I live life like let anything go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and verse 22 says, we must abstain from all evil. We got to keep our hearts pure. Under no circumstances can we afford to lose our souls. Under no circumstance this morning should you be willing to lose your soul. Are you willing? Are you willing this morning to lose your soul? Whatever hinders you spiritually this morning, give it up. Whatever is hindering you spiritually this morning, give it up. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing. Give it up regardless of the cost. If something is hindering your soul, let go of it, no matter what it's going to cost you. What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What have you gained? 100 years from now, we're all going to be somewhere else. What have you gained if you lose your soul? Love drives us to heaven. We all have things in our life. Y'all hear me talk about it, and you probably get tired of me talking about it. Y'all hear me talk about Jay often. I can't let go. I can't. Took me a long time when I got off work not thinking about going home and being with Jay. I can't let go. I miss him. He was that important to me. But I'm going to see him again. I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to let Satan get a hold of me. And that's the hard-headed Rogers in me. Is when something happens, I keep it. I hold on to it. And I use that for fuel. That I keep going no matter what. Friday, I was out working. I know y'all ready for me to be quiet. Friday, I was out working. Went, and all I had to do was pull a hydrant straight up. My car had hit it. Just pull it back. We dug out around it and looked down there, and it's lead joint. Those of you that know what that means, you know how bad it is. Those that don't, it's bad. And the guy said, what do you think? I said, well, we're going to stand there back up. It'll either leak or it won't. But either way, it's got to be changed out. If we leave it where it's at, you still got to dig it up and change it out. We pull it up and it starts leaking, we'll have to change it out. But we got that chance that we can pull it back and it won't leak. Well, we pulled it back and it leaked a little. So we dug up around it, and I got down in the hole, and I tried to repack the lead, and I was doing a good job. I got this side stopped, and it started leaking over here. So I go over and I packed the lead over there. It started leaking on the top. Packed it, started leaking on the bottom. I looked up and I said, let's just change it. We pulled that hydrant off, put another one back on. It was a little longer than that. Got the old hydrant off, got the new one on. I was down there tightening everything up. Just started digging behind the hydrant, going to put me some solid concrete blocks back behind it so it wouldn't blow off. Someone there that did not work for us decided it would be a good idea to go ahead and turn the water back on. So they go and turn the water back on, and those of you that knows anything about water at all, I didn't have this hydrant kicked yet. I didn't have it blocked. So they go turn the water back on. I got to hearing water. Then the water got to hit me in the back. And I turned around and looked, and this hydrant was coming off of the 6-inch water main. So at that point, I knew what to do. I got out of the hole. The pressure built up, blowed the hydrant off. By then, I got out, and I started walking toward the truck. And I went and dried my hands and my face off and got me another Diet Coke. Sat on the tailgate for a minute, cooled down a little bit, and walked back over. The guy said, what are we going to do? I said, get the pumps turned back on. We got to do all of what we've done all over again. But I didn't have no choice. That's where I was at that time. Where are you at right now? It may be you need to start all over again. It may be frustrating. I was frustrated Friday. But at the same time, I knew what I had to do. I could not walk away from that man because I had promised him I was going to fix his problem. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you can't walk away from your soul. If your soul is not right with God, I plead and I beg with you this morning that as we stand and sing this invitation song, that you won't look around at anyone else, but you look at yourself. And you look at yourself and you say, Charlie, I am right with God. Tim, I'm right with God. And I'm happy. And I can put a smile on my face. But my smile does not come from false hope. My smile comes from my hope of eternal life in heaven. And if you can't say that, I beg that you will come forward this morning, putting the Lord on in baptism if you need to, or restoring your soul to God through prayer and repentance this morning while we stand and sing.